Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Most Americans really don't understand what it's like to live in a thoroughly parched land. A land so devoid of life, so hot and waterless that it drains the life from you in a matter of hours. I am told by military service members who have been deployed in Kuwait and Iraq, particularly during the summer months, that they know what it is to live in a place that is parched, particularly during the month of August. Kuwait is not uncommon for the temperatures in Kuwait to climb over 130 degrees, particularly between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. I guess our American weathermen would be all outside frying an egg on the sidewalk at that point. How silly it gets when it gets 90 degrees here. But think about that, 130 degrees. There's no relief from clouds or from rain. The wind brings no respite, but only serves as a source of pain as hot sand is blown against any revealed skin. To be outside during this time of the day in this part of the world is so incredibly draining and sapping of all energy that it's hard to understand unless you've actually lived through it. At first, you don't even recognize it because perspiration evaporates so quickly you don't realize that you're sweating, profusely. Walking even a mile in the heat like this is like running several miles anywhere else. Over the course of an hour in such heat, I'm told that you really begin to feel it. Your body is being drained of vital nutrition, particularly of fluids. And unless you receive nourishment, you will indeed perish. The truly penitent child of God recognizes that life in this fallen and sinful world is like that. All the time. No matter what time of the day it is, no matter what month it is, no matter where you are, thus and perhaps now especially in this Holy Week, as we near the end of our Lenten reflections, we see that the penitent thirst for the Lord. From this perspective, the psalmist writes Psalm 143. It is the last of the traditional penitential psalms, the last in our series as we conclude our Lenten series of the penitential psalms. The Septuagint attributes this psalm to King David. One early inscription adds that this was written when he fled his son Absalom. David was running for his life into the barren desert, into the wilderness. If you would like to read more about that, I recommend you read 2 Samuel chapter 15. He was pursued by his own son together with the soldiers who were loyal to his son Absalom. And in his despair, David cries out to the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. And then verse 6. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Notice that David does not base his prayer on his own worthiness before God. Although in this situation he's relatively speaking innocent, he recognizes that his own sins make him unworthy of claiming any blessing from the Lord. Rather, he bases his appeal on the Lord's faithfulness, the faithfulness of the Lord to his promise of deliverance through the coming one, the Christ. David asks to be judged not on the basis of his record, but on the basis of God's mercy. Because he is a child of God through faith, David can call upon the Lord for help. Martin Luther observes on this, the life of a saint is more a taking from God than a giving, more a desiring than a having, more a becoming pious than being pious. Thus, St. Augustine says that faith obtains what the law demands. Hence, imploring, desiring, searching is the true essence of the inner man, as in Psalm 34, verse 10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing, and in Psalm 105, verse 4, seek His presence continually. Here ends Luther, quote, we do not have to be pursued by an enemy into the desert and wilderness to call out to God in desperation. The fallenness of our own sinful condition confronts us each day. No one is righteous before God. We all stand under God's judgment. We are from birth sinful and unclean, and we sin daily in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by the things we leave undone. Our soul is spiritually parched, dried up. Without God and the nourishment He provides, we are truly dead in our trespasses and sins. King David felt great oppression from his enemies. In fact, King David felt like one who was buried alive forever. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. We too have an enemy. One that pursues us each and every day of our life. St. Peter tries to wake us up out of our sleeping slumber when he says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil stalks particularly those who have been claimed by God as His dear children. Like insurgents lying in wait to ambush the unsuspecting, so Satan and his legion of evil angels seek to attack the faithful with despair, doubt, and try to lead us to unbelief. Furthermore, those of the world despise us because we ourselves are no longer of the world, but rather simply living in the world. Martin Luther makes note here. Here one should keep in mind that this psalm has been and is spoken in the name of the whole people of Christ and of each person individually. The daily enemies of this people are the worldly wise and the self-righteous, who do not know and refuse to know anything about the grace of God. The devil and the world seek to crush us, seeking to make us feel like we have been abandoned by God, trapped in a casket and buried alive. That's where they want us. Furthermore, David, this very mighty warrior, you remember the young man who was able with the aid of God to kill a mighty giant as a child, acknowledges his own weakness. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. Our spirit too becomes faint and it fails. The old Adam arises each day within us and we are weak and incapable of helping ourselves. We do not know where to go. We don't know the best choices to make. We are like lost sheep in need of a good shepherd. And so as we face our sins and its consequences, as we face the enemies that assail us, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, as we face our weaknesses, as we feel smothered and faint, it is then that the penitent cries out to God. Like David crying out for mercy, the forgiveness of our sins. Like David, we stretch out our hands to the Lord, for our soul thirsts for God like a parched land. And so we cry out for relief, for the words of God. God's word is steadfast, and His steadfast love comes. For refuge and deliverance from the enemy, He gives. For guidance and teaching, for the leading of the Holy Spirit, for preservation of life. Life in God, that is. We cry out, and like David, sometimes It seems to us and our flesh and our own desires and our own timing that God has turned a deaf ear to us, that he doesn't listen. But God always listens to his children. And Luther writes on this, God's delay in granting grace and help causes the soul to fear that it is forsaken and condemned. But it is put on the rack to make it desire greater and more profound grace and thus receive more perfect grace. Now he is truly Christ-formed man who is inwardly disconsolate and of a contrite spirit and has a constant longing for God's grace and help. Here ends Luther. As we then read carefully through Psalm 143, we see that David is not simply crying out to the Lord because God can rescue him from his enemies at this particular time. Rather, he thirsts for an ongoing relationship with God that will guide him his entire life. That is the way it is with those who are who truly are penitent. We need to keep from thinking of God as a fire extinguisher that we pull out of the cupboard to put out the fire in our life at that moment, only to be stored back away out of the sight and out of mind until we're desperate once again. As penitent, you see, we realize that because of our sin and our enemies, Satan and this world, we continually need the Lord. We need the Lord's protection. And so we continually thirst for the Lord. We need the Lord's care and sustenance. David's weakness is overcome by thinking on the Lord's great redemptive works of the past. All that God has done in the past, in the days of old, as the psalmist says, together with his unfailing love, gives David confidence to face the future. David calls out to God, trusting that God would deliver him by providing for his household, for his troubled soul. And David asks the Lord to answer his prayer and his plea according to God's faithfulness and righteousness. And therefore God gives us his righteousness in his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he brings us to faith in Christ as our Savior. That was the promise David hoped for, because for him the fulfillment of the coming Messiah, well, was still in the future. But for us, this is the promise now fulfilled. And Luther writes, here it should be noted that the little words, thy faith and thy righteousness, do not refer to the faith and the righteousness with which God believes and is righteous, as some have thought, but to the grace whereby God works faith in us and makes us righteous. Thus, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1, 2, and 3, speaks of the righteousness of and the faith of God given to us by the grace of Christ. Here ends Luther. The only begotten Son of God fulfilled all righteousness for us. What we could not do because of our sinful condition, Jesus does. True God and true man through his perfect life, suffering, and death. Then this precious Holy Week, in these last holy days, we see our Savior. He suffered all the evil that the devil, the world, and our own flesh could put upon him, and he bore it all on a cross. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He has taken away your sin and mine. This forgiveness is atonement with God. Together with the very righteousness of Christ becomes ours through faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. This faith is something that our faithful, righteous God brings and sustains in us as he feeds us with his word and sacrament. It is all by grace. It is all God's doing, none of ours. we can do nothing to quench our own thirst. But God comes to us with His living water, our Savior Jesus Christ. God comes to us with the waters of holy baptism, bringing us new life in Christ. God places His name on us in baptism, giving us faith, connecting us to Jesus' death and resurrection, and giving us the washing of regeneration as Christ's righteousness is applied to us. God continues to nourish us with His Word as we hear it, as we hear it read, as we hear it proclaimed, as we study it in Bible classes, and as we read it in our own private devotions. He gives us nourishment to carry on regularly, assuring us that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that we are more than conquerors through Him. And tonight our Lord feeds us with His very body and blood in His Holy Supper. The very body and blood that tomorrow we will see given and shed for us on the cross at Calvary is given for us to eat and drink tonight for the forgiveness of our sins. Now David wraps up the psalm with the plea for life and rescue from his enemies. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. For God's name's sake, and not for our own, we are given life. All that we have is purely by God's grace. So regardless of what happens, we are His. And He will be glorified through us. During good times and bad, we have life in Christ. As St. Paul writes in Romans, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." We are His workmanship, created in Christ to do what God has intended for us to do, all to the glory of His name. Luther writes, "I live in grace. Therefore, my whole life serves Thee, not myself. For I seek not myself, but Thee and Thine. Those who live in their own righteousness cannot do this. They serve themselves and look for their own welfare in all things." Here ends Luther. David declares himself the Lord's servant. And so are we. But through Christ, we are not just mere servants. We are the children of God, heirs of eternal life. We will have a seat at the banquet feast at the Lamb of the Lamb in heaven, not as servants, but as children, as heirs of the kingdom. And so on this night, the night on which our Lord is betrayed, we who are parched and thirst for the Lord remember another psalm that comes to mind. A psalm that comes to the Lord's table. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." For Christ gives us Himself, His very body and blood, in with and under the bread and the wine, for the forgiveness of our sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is strengthening of faith and eternal life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.